reading some verses to you, a few of them here. And as I read them, I want you to listen for the common theme that is a part of every one of these. A very important theme. It makes all the difference in the world for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And without this theme, we'd be in a very bad place. So listen, and I'll ask at the end of the verses what you think it is. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Matthew 28:20, "And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And then Matthew 1:23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, can you say that with me? God with us. So what is the theme of all these verses? I might have emphasized a few words, but can anybody just shout it out? God with us. Very, very good. Exactly. What a promise that we see all throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. God's actual presence with us so we don't have to be alone. And when you stop to think about that, it's very, very overwhelming. Just think about what the other side of that would be, the opposite of God not being with us. What would that mean? That would be a terrible, terrible, terrible place. A very, very scary thing. But thank God for His Word that tells us that He's made that not a possibility for us. Jesus was born, and His name is Emmanuel, and that name means God with us. So as you've already heard, we're starting a new sermon series entitled that, God with Us. And as you already know from Lynn lighting the candle for us, we are starting the Advent season, and the focus of Advent is really nothing more than a time of preparation. It's a way of us not letting the real meaning and the real purpose of Christmas pass us by, because, as I said, we love this time of year. We love the lights. We love the parties. We love the food. We love giving and receiving gifts. But that's not the real reason for what this season is all about. It's about God's presence coming into this world as a little baby. And I'd like you to read that verse that we'll be reading throughout these next 4 weeks. It's Matthew 1:23. Let's read it. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. If you were here last week, you know that we said it's very easy to give thanks when things are going well. And I think it's also very, very true. When things are going well, we can sense God's presence around us and being with us. And it's so easy to believe that God is with us when things are going the way we think they should, when we're up on top of the mountain, whenever we get good news, or we get a raise, or your baby finally sleeps through the night for the first time, or you get that perfect parking spot at Pompey Mall so you can get in and get your coffee. You go, God is so good. Thank you, God. It's easy to sense His presence when things are going well. But it's sometimes, or maybe always, it's more difficult to sense His presence when you're in a valley, when things aren't going the way you want them to be, when you get that phone call and it's not a good phone call, when you get bad news, or when you're hurting, maybe when you're feeling alone during the holidays, maybe it's when you're worried or afraid or you're battling depression. God does not feel very present at those moments. And we've all been in a spot like that at times, I'm sure. So what I want to talk about is God's presence in the valleys of life. Because the reality is we will all be in a valley, are in one now, are passing through one, or we will be in one in the future. And it's in the valleys that we find life to be difficult, to be challenging, and sometimes hopeless. But it's also in the valleys that we can see God and learn about God in a very different way. And He reveals Himself to us in ways that we don't see Him on top of the mountain. And it's in the valleys we get to know God in probably the more meaningful and deep ways. And so if you like to write things down, you could write this down. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know Him intimately in the valleys. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know Him intimately in the valleys. We enjoy Him. It's great to be with Him. But God does something amazing and very powerful in our lives when we're there down in the valley. So today we're going to take a look at some verses out of Psalm 84. You'd say, wow, it's an Advent series. But we're going to look at Psalm 84, and in this psalm, we read of a valley called the Valley of Baca. How many of you speak Spanish? Put your hands up. There's a few of you. That's the Valley of what in Spanish? Cows. This is not the Valley of Cows. Just thought I'd add that in there for you. It is not Baca. It's Valley of Baca. We'll talk about what it is in just a second. I'm going to read our scripture, Psalm 84, verses 1 through 7. And just as I start to read, listen to the excitement of the psalmist as he describes wanting to be in Jerusalem with the Lord in the temple. All right, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallows a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appear before God in Zion. And the psalmist starts this by expressing the joy and the blessing for him to be in the temple where God's presence dwelt. He wanted to be in his presence so that he could worship him and praise him and experience the blessings that God had for him. But he says, I realize something here. There's a valley that I need to go through first before I can get to that place that he wants to be. And part of that was, he says, I need to go through this valley called Baca. What is the Valley of Baca? Another translation, New Living Translation, translates it a little differently and I think makes it more understandable. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, when they walk through the Valley of Weeping. The Valley of Weeping. So the question is how did this valley get to be called the Valley of Weeping? There are some scholars who say it's not a real place. Others who said it was a real place. I think it was a real place. And it's believed by scholars that this valley was a very arid valley. It was very, very dry. And it was filled with trees that would ooze out its sap. And if you walk by this tree, people would say that the tree was a weeper. They would say that it was a weeper. And it looked like the tree was crying. And that's why the Valley of Baca was translated a bunch of different ways in the scriptures. It says the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Weeping. It's called the Valley of Loss. All I know is it sounds like it's a place I would not want to be. And many times the valleys that we find ourselves in are exactly like that, a valley that's filled with weeping and tears and sorrow. And most times, if not, whenever you see a valley in the Bible, you find out that it's a dangerous place. It's a place where there'd be thorns, dangerous animals, people would be jumping out after you. In fact, most of the time, it was very difficult to get through a valley without something bad happening. But what we have to give us strength during those times is the beginning of what it says in verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. And there's a very important distinction that's made in this verse. The psalmist says there's a blessing, but it's only for a certain group of people. It's for those whose strength is in God. It's not just if somebody doesn't have strength and hope in God, then there is no strength for them there. And for us today, we're the New Testament believers. We believe the people that he's talking about here would be believers in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know God intimately through Christ, then chances are there are times you're just going to get to the end of the valley. You're going to say, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this anymore. I just don't have it in me. And the truth is, and it's a sad truth, if you don't know God intimately through Christ, then what you have is all you have. But that's not true for followers of Christ. That's not true for us because we believe that we have a strength that goes beyond us, beyond our own ability, and that we have access to a heavenly strength. And that's why the psalmist can say, blessed are those whose strength is found in, not in Wendell, not in whoever it is, but your name, but it's found in God. Blessed are those whose strength is found in you. And when we get to the end of our rope as Christians, We have a divine strength that God makes possible. And God meets us right where we are, which is at the end of our strength, when we've tried probably to do everything in our own power. He meets us there, and he gives us the power that we need to endure. And you think, I was thinking about this, and I thought of the Apostle Paul when he talked about the thorns that he had in his flesh. And he asked God to take it away 3 different times. But listen to what happens where God meets him in that point of weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. It's in the middle of the valley. It's in the middle of the pain that God says, okay, you give it up and give it to me, and I'll give you what you need. Paul could probably say, I'll boast about the valley of sorrow, this thorn in the flesh that I have, so that his power could rest on him. I'm so glad that we have that verse, that we can find all the strength that we need in God. And if you're in the middle of a valley right now, and you've made a profession of faith to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, then you have access to a very real, very ever-present God who promises to give you everything that you need. Notice it doesn't say, blessed are those who do it in your own power. Blessed are those who pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Blessed are those who are really determined. So that's where we get into trouble, when we try to do it in our own power, because we can't do it. We as Americans like independence, right? I don't need anything or anybody. I can do this on my own. God created us to be dependent on him first, but also dependent on others. When I heard the testimonies of the small groups and what that means, man, there's such power in being with other people who can love you and support you. For some of us, this might be the very, very first thing you need to do as you find yourself in a valley. You just need to admit you do not have what it takes to get you through that valley. What you need is his presence. And blessed are those whose strength is found in God. So why do we need this strength? Well, it's because we have a pilgrimage that we have to make. For the psalmist, his journey was to Jerusalem, is to the temple. There was 3 different times a year that they would have to journey to the temple. And another name used for Jerusalem, they would call it the City of Peace. And this psalmist wanted to be there where there was peace, where there's his presence, but he knew that he had to travel through that valley called Baca. One commentary said it like this: to get to the city of refuge, again a reference to Jerusalem, you had to travel through the valley of tears. So to get to the place where you can really appreciate the presence and the power of God, you have to push through a little bit or maybe even a lot of pain to get to the presence and the goodness of God. Now, it's usually not a path that many of us would choose for ourselves. We wouldn't sign up for it. We wouldn't say, boy, let me just get through that. Let me just get into a valley where it's very, 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 very difficult. But it is a place that we have to go. So verse 5, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Who are the ones who find strength from the Lord in this journey? It's the ones who have set their minds. They've set their minds on what God has for them. Blessed are those who have their minds set toward God. See, what you think about, particularly in the valley, means a lot. It matters a lot. And Paul talked a lot about this in the New Testament. In Colossians 3:2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Now, that's pretty easy when we're not in a valley, isn't it? But in the middle of the valley, if we don't set our minds on things of God, where are they at? It's only on the pit. It's in the hole. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where you are is one thing, but what you're thinking is another, and it really, really, really matters. So why do we continue to say, read God's word? Because when you hide God's word and you know God's word in your heart, it gives you something that you can look beyond the valley. You may right now be in a valley, but your mind can still be set upon God. You can make a choice to do that. Everything may look totally out of control, and many times it is. And the reality is we can choose to focus our mind on him and on his goodness and he can and his promise to be with us through the valley. We can say, no matter how difficult it is, that God is with us. And when I can't make it, when I'm at the end of my rope, when I'm totally at the end of my own power, he is there, and he's there to help me. But my mind needs to be focused. My mind needs to be set on the things of God. So verse 6, the other thing we need to remember about that valley is that we're going to pass through it. In verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley is not a destination. The valley is a place that we're going to pass through. And it's a place that will be traveled in order for us to get where God wants us to be. It's the place where we keep our minds focused on him. And there's something else that we can do. We keep our minds focused on him, and we find another thing we can do in verse 6. And I'm going to read another translation, which I think will make it easier to understand. So, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also covered with pools. So, many of us, I haven't read the King James a lot, but I really like what this translation does with this. The King James says it this way: they will make it a well. Instead of the place of springs, they will make it a well. So, in other words, it says, whenever you're in a dry place and there's no water around you and you're getting thirsty, what should you do? You should dig a well, a little hole, or something that's going to provide a place to collect the rain when it finally does come. The rain's coming, you don't know when, so you dig a little hole and you get ready for that to be filled. And maybe God hasn't sent it right away. He hasn't sent it yet. And it's dry. But when you're dry and when you're hurting and you feel like you're in the veil, you need to make room for the presence of God. You need to make room for the provision that God is sending your way, which is really a statement of faith on our part. Why would we do that? Because by faith we believe that God will show up and he will make his presence known to us. All we have to do is make room by providing a place for him to do that. And if all we're thinking about is the hole and about the difficulty and about the struggle and not thinking about the God that we serve who promises to take care of us, we end up missing out on what he might send to us. It's us showing God that we trust him and believe that he'll do something. It's exactly what we see Jesus doing in the New Testament in John 5, where there's a man who couldn't walk for 38 years. Jesus didn't just say, you're healed. What did he say to him? He says, take up your mat and walk. And you show me that you believe by getting up. And if you show me your faith, I will show you my faithfulness. So sometimes we just sit there and we wait and we don't anticipate or see anything. God says, I want you to show it. It's the if promises of Scripture. And I love those. If you draw near to me, what does God promise you to do? I will draw near to you. You show me that you believe, and I'll show you my presence. If you seek me, what does he say? You'll find me. If you make room for me, I will reveal myself to you. And maybe you haven't felt God's presence in a long time. And if you were to describe your journey, you would say that you're in a valley, and maybe you've been there for a really, really long time. It might be time to say, God, I want to make a well. I want to make a spot where I believe and trust that you're going to fill for me, to give me exactly what I need to get through this. But it's so hard for us just to stop and wait. We don't like to stop. We don't like to wait. We don't like to get quiet. But listen to how the psalmist says his as he waits on God. Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11. He says, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is, what does it say? With us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. All we need to do is slow down and be still and wait and believe and watch what he does. And the Lord Almighty is with us. I love that. That's a great promise. See, God never promised that you won't go through a valley. He promised that he'd never let you go through the valley alone. And that's the promise we have when Jesus came and was born as a little baby, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the promise. One last thing over in verse 7, it says they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. What does that mean? That means right at the moment that you need the strength that you have to get through whatever it is that you're facing, He will give it to you. And then you say, wow, I made it through that one. And then something else comes up. What does he do then? He gives you the strength that you need to deal with it right then. He doesn't give it to you until you'll need it. You'll look at people and you say, how in the world can they deal with that? And the only way we can answer is that God is giving them the strength they need at that moment. Wendell, Marianne, how do you deal with the loss of a child? God gave us the strength that we needed at that moment. Many of you have lost loved ones. How did God help you? He gave you at that moment. It's by faith. We trust him for that. And he will give it. It's not our strength, but his strength. And so we praise him in the valley. We get to know him in the valley. He reveals his character to us. And we can sense his strength and his presence in ways that we could never do it. So if you're in the valley, don't be afraid. Why? Because he's with you. Enjoy the mountaintops when they come. It's awesome. We love to be in those places, and I think we can enjoy them. But God wants us to get to know him even more intimately, and that usually is in the valley. And if you're in the valley, you're passing through. You're just waiting, and you're going to trust him for each step along the way, and he will lead you because he's good, and he'll give you the strength that you need. And when you can't handle it anymore, let go. We have Emmanuel, God with us. This table is a reminder of the one who was born, whose name was Emmanuel, who grew up and lived a perfect life, who then went to the cross on our behalf so that we could have forgiveness. And this morning, we invite all who are followers of Jesus Christ to come to the table to experience God being with you as we hold two elements that remind us of who Jesus was. If those who are going to serve would come forward now, that would be great.